If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1, and we're going to do 17 through 32. It's going to be a minute, but we have to read before and after to get the whole pitch, Pastor says. When you have it, just say amen, and if you just want to look on the screen, that's okay too. I know growing up, when I would hear my pastor say that he was going to preach out of Romans, I said, oh no, we are in so much trouble this morning. Because Romans is a very convicting book of the Bible. They're all convicting, but Romans is the most. So here we go. Let's dive into the Word of God this morning. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust to one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not covenant, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, disrespectful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I'm going to preach on righteousness this morning. If you have read in your bulletin, the back of it, Sister Frieda's word for a word from Sister Frieda, a word for every day. Her title was Fear God. And Thursday I had let the Hispanics into the church. And Connie does the bulletins on Wednesday. So I said, I'm going to read what Sister Frieda said. And I sat in Connie's office and squalled my eyes out. Because I was going back and forth on this. I didn't know, God, righteousness, really? That's really like, And it's scary. Anyway, so I sat there and cried, and I said, okay, that was my third confirmation. So I'm gonna yield. I'm not gonna be like Gideon. But I'm gonna ask you a question. What picture comes to your mind when you hear the word God? What characteristic of God do you think of? A lot of us think of, oh, he's my friend. And he is our friend. He said that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But he's also our God. He's also our judge. He's our daddy. It says in Hebrews, it says in the word that it was accounted unto Abraham as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. There's a key to that, and it's called righteousness. It was accounted unto him as righteousness. Not this automatic thing, oh, I'm saved, I'm best friends with God, I can do everything that I want to do and not get and get away with everything. No, no, no. I'm sorry. We have a praise and worship song, and we don't sing it here a lot. And I don't like it because it says that I'm a friend of God. And I am a friend of God because I try to live righteous. But we have this society today, this Christian society, that says because that song says I'm a friend of God, that I can do whatever I want to do. I can live a cheap grace. I can do whatever I want to. And at the end of the day, God is going to love me. Yet His love reaches as far as from the east is to the west. That means that it never comes together, the east and the west. There's not an east pole and a south pole. So His love is ever reaching. But here's the thing at the end of the day. If you sin, God's don't judge you. An unrepentant heart. It says it here in Romans, what they did, what caused them is that their unrighteousness, their learnedness caused them to think, oh, God's just, you know, He's on my level. And we know that history repeats itself. Romans, we're living in that church age. Once again, when Paul thinks of God in the opening verses of his Roman epistle, his mind first focuses on the righteousness of God. Both F.B. Meyer, a Bible scholar of past generations, and Warren Wiserbe, one of the outstanding Bible commentators of our generation, concur that this phase, the righteousness of God, is the pivotal phase in the entire epistle. In one form or another, the term righteousness appears in the book of Romans more than 60 times. What is the righteousness of God? I did a little study this week when I was preparing, and I went on a Bible website, and in the Old Testament, it just gave Old Testament references. More than 63 times the righteousness of God is mentioned. And then in Romans alone, it's mentioned over 60. So what is it telling us? That we have to be righteous.